Page 50. Yeah, we're on.
Just close up and go on the 50, huh?
You can go back.
Just in the past, I'm closing up, going on the 50.
Okay, let's pray, ladies. Father, we thank you for your watch care over us, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, Lord, to be in your word, to just learn from you. We pray for those that aren't in our class today, Lord. We pray for Miss Kathy. I know she hasn't been feeling well, and I know Tanya's getting adjusted with her mom coming to live with her, and she hasn't been here for a few weeks. And we lift up Jerry and the difficulties she's been going through. Lord, I just pray you work in each of their hearts. Lord, just touch them, bring them back to us safely. We thank you for Dana that's come to our class, and that we can be a blessing to her. And Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, that we can meet as ladies and just learn from your word. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this is Dana. This is Beverly. And, okay, so Bev, we're on page 50 in our book at question 15 is where we are starting. If that's too, I think it's the top. It's beautiful. It feels good. I'm fine.
She said, don't be messing with it.
But if anybody else wants it, yeah, I'll sacrifice it.
That's okay. I come for things.
She's got her jacket.
I brought my skin
with me. And she's got, and Dana's got her own blanket too. So there we go. Everybody's fine.
If it's too much on you.
Yes, go ahead.
We're going to move? Okay. Yes. No, no, she's good. They're just going to switch places.
Nursery Wednesday. Did the pastor say anything about services for
Evan? He just announced it. It's going to be on Saturday at 1.
Coming Saturday. Okay.
And he'll have more details on Wednesday of what we need to do.
Okay.
But it's just going to be a memorial service on Saturday at 1 for Ava. Okay, so we're in Psalm 26. Verse 3, Isaiah, never mind, it's my brain, it's all right. Here, Dana, all the ladies get one of those when they come. All right, so Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Okay, so how do Isaiah and then Psalm 1, which we know, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Okay, so how does those verses help us to know that getting our eyes off of people and on circumstances and putting them on the Lord? How do those verses help us in getting our focus where it needs to be?
Keep trusting in the Lord.
Exactly.
It's a promise from God.
It's a promise. He's,
that he'll give us peace if we trust in him and keep him.
Thou wilt. This is a continual. Thou wilt. It doesn't say he's going to do it once. It's a continual thing. The more you rely on the Lord, the more you trust in the Lord, the more you rely on his word, all of that lends you to having, he's always there. He's constantly working. And Psalm 1 is, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So who are we to listen to? What the world has to say about handling your problems, or what God has to say about handling your problems? They can't give, the world can't give you joy. It can't give you peace. It can't give you contentment. You're not going to get any of those things from the world. You're only going to get them from having a relationship with Jesus and trusting in him and relying on his word and putting your faith and your trust in him. So we know that our joy is not dependent on our circumstances. Joy comes from the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We know that our focus, we're the ones that cause our joy to be diminished. We're the ones that are robbing ourselves, I guess you could say. We're the ones that do it to ourselves. We're the ones that we could be in such... We make choices that are not profitable for us. We make choices that don't benefit us. But we do it because even though we're saved, we're still sinners. We still have a free will. The Lord gives us that. We still have choices that we make. But knowing that you can be forgiven, knowing that you can come back to the Lord, knowing that he's always there for us, is a comfort. It doesn't, in a sense, give us a license to just do this continually. We should strive to get that under control in our lives, but we're still going to do it. Yes, ma'am.
Well, too, I look at it and I don't, I talk better than I really act, you know.
Well, exactly.
But my head tells me.
We say it really nicely,
yeah,
exactly.
But I don't live it, you know, a lot of times. But, I look at it as sort of, you know, if you're not putting God first and you're not seeking his will and you're not, you know, asking for his guidance every day, and you're forfeiting some of the blessings. Like, for instance, you know, I came out of a bad marriage, got into a good one. But anyway, God doesn't really want, you know, he would maybe, he would want me to be married once.
Right.
It's not that he doesn't forgive me for that, but I may have forfeited blessings by not doing it right the first time.
Right.
By not following his will, by not asking for his will.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not asking for him to send me the right person, blah, blah, blah. It's not that I'm, you know, never going to be forgiven or anything like that, but I have probably forfeited some of his blessings.
We all have.
From that, and that's just one example.
Right.
There's many things.
But he also forgives you.
Yes, he does. And
forgives you.
And
yes.
Forgiveness is wonderful, but we still have to accept the consequences of what we've done.
Mm-hmm.
We reap what we sow. Okay. If you're going to be sowing things negatively in your life, yes, God can forgive you of that action, but the consequences, you're still going to have to deal with the consequences. You've made bad choices, and if that causes a consequence to happen, you're forgiven, but you still have to deal with the consequence. It's not like he's going to just wipe that away and say, oh, good, everything's fine. No, you reap what you sow, and you know, sometimes, and it's getting us off the path. It's like we've gone down a trail now that the Lord didn't want us on. So in turn, we've got to deal with the consequences of being on this trail instead of over here where the Lord wanted us. We have to deal with those until we get back on the right path that he wants us on. There are the little detours that we take off the path. We still have to deal with what that brings to pass. We're not always, you know, he's not going to just say, okay, here you are, back on the straight and narrow again, and you have no consequences because I'm going to take those away from you. We don't do that with our children. We may forgive them of the action that they've done, but there's still a consequence to that sin or the wrongdoing that they've done, or, you know, they still have to pay the penalty in a sense, you know. But then God's mercy is always there as well. He can the consequences can be lessened if God so chooses as well, because we grant mercy to our children. You know, it's like they're very, very sorry. They're very repentant. You see that this was a traumatic thing for them, whatever it is that they did, and spanking them may not be beneficial because they're already in sorrow. They're already grieved, you know. And so you grant mercy to them. Well, God does the same thing with us. He looks at our circumstances and he sees, you know, how... I don't know if... I can't find it in the Bible, but I don't know if there's like degrees of repentance. Because sometimes you can say, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. But... it's like, are you asking for forgiveness in what you did, or for that you got caught in it, or, you know, it's like, how repentant really are you? Oh Lord, please forgive me. You know, it's like but then I'm gonna do it again. You know, it's like we don't. Yes.
So our consequences, are they immediate or are they long?
Don't know.
They can be immediate.
They can be both.
Because just going back to her example, okay, so got divorced, got into another marriage. The consequences of that action happen then.
Right.
When you have the sorrow, the pain, whatever goes with
exactly.
But then when the new man comes along, the new marriage comes into play, the new life gets, you're not still suffering from that.
Well, yeah, but you are. And you had kids and they were affected by that.
Mm-hmm.
And also my whole, you know,
your outlook on
and everything was, you know, skewed.
But that's what I said, you suffered then. Now that there's new things, it's like with the kids. I punish them now.
Right.
I don't hold it against them 7
no.
years from now.
No.
So, okay, 7 years ago.
you did this and you did
my glass and I'm still going to get you for that. You know, I mean, to me, in my mind, there's got to be some kind of balance.
Well, there is, but like Beverly said, her mindset, her children's reaction, her children's the effect of what happened to them, all kind of, it's not an ongoing consequence, it's just the product of, right? So little by little, as she's in her new relationship, as she's learning what a good relationship is about, how she's gleaning from this new relationship, she's able to get rid of some of the weights, some of the things that she was carrying that were her.
Partly, also going back to partly choice.
Oh yeah.
We can carry that. We can carry that forever.
And a lot of times.
Choose to say, okay, I did this. I asked for forgiveness. I was forgiven.
Right, but we have the harder time with that. We're the ones.
That's why I keep asking you.
I know.
Because I know we have.
We're the ones that have the harder time with that, is forgiving ourselves for what we've done. Right, but it's not his fault. It's a choice I made. Exactly, it's a choice I made. And all of that comes from everything that we've learned in the book so far. It's like, it affects our love that we give to other people. It affects our joy now. It's going to affect all of them, all of the fruit of the Spirit that we're going to go through in this book. Our choices, our actions, our way of dealing with all of these things in our life, if we don't keep our focus where it needs to be on God and His Word and other people, that's a key, is thinking about other people. It's not all about you. It's like we get so wrapped up into ourselves and what we think we don't have, or I deserve better, or I don't have this and she does, and blah, blah. And there we are again, right back into this trap of it's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me.
So somewhere along the line, we have to accept God's forgiveness.
Exactly.
We have to accept. Because if not, if you don't, then everything else...
Then none of this makes...
It makes no sense.
Right.
So that's why I keep thinking, somewhere along the line, I go, okay, I asked God for forgiveness, he forgave me.
Right, now so I have to let it go.
I have to let it go and move on.
To...
Move on with... Get off of page 49.
Then page 50, exactly. Move on now. That's right. So, and then we've got the situation of the one day at a time, okay? God tells us to think about here and now, this moment. We're not to think about what's coming in the future because we don't know that. We don't know the future. God's the only one that knows the future. But if we stay close to him, he's going to guide our path as to what he's bringing forth to us in the future. We know who knows what's coming up. I don't have to know. God, thank you very much, because I don't want to know what's coming up ahead, because I would just crawl in the bed and pull the covers over my head and just stay there, and you know, I'm not going to move on, because it would... Right, and...
It says in the Bible, don't do the occult, don't be the future.
Right, we do...
When I was 20 years old.
Yes. That's not what we need.
Something in me would pop, and I could never do it again.
No, no.
I felt the pop. It was amazing.
So, Philippians 3 tells us what about the future, or about what how we're supposed to do one day at a time. And I can't find Philippians. But, yeah. Oh, there it is, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Okay, so this is the Apostle Paul. He knew all about these issues of dealing with the future. And brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, so the forgetting the things that was yesterday. Okay, yesterday is done. I can't fix it. I can't change it. I can't do anything about it. Today is in my control. Today, me and the Lord can walk in today. Okay? I can't do anything about yesterday, and I can't do anything about tomorrow because it hasn't happened yet. I need to focus on this time, this hour, you know, however it is that you get through your day. Is it, you know, minute by minute, daily, you know, hour by hour, or I, you know, give the day to him in the morning, and, you know, and then as I go through my day, I, you know, it's like we take it back in a sense. It's like you give control over to God, and then all of a sudden something happens and you're like, oh, but maybe we should do it this way, or oh, I think I can do that better. And it's like, really? You can do it better than God can do it? It's like, what's wrong with you? And you know, you have to kind of smack yourself and say, what are you thinking? It's like you can't do anything better than God can do it, so just be patient. And all the situation with my job and everything else, it was like everything I heard, pastor, the stuff on the radio I was hearing, songs I was listening to, everything was talking about waiting and you know, going through trials and waiting for the Lord. And I'm like, okay, I got it. I'm just going to wait and be patient and just, you know, take a moment and not have a reaction here. And it was just like every time I turned around, something was talking about waiting. And I'm like, okay, I got it. Don't have to be, you know, don't get all freaked out about what's going to happen. You know, it hasn't happened yet, so just relax. So we're to press on, stay here in the moment, move on. Okay, so then we're right in Philippians. Go to 4:6, 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay, so prayer and supplication. That, but there's an extra. It's with thanksgiving. Can you pray with thankfulness all the time? Can you be thankful for the circumstance that you're in? Or are you praying, Lord, get me out of this circumstance?
But you can pray and be thankful for that circumstance.
Exactly. But
and still ask God to get you out.
Oh, yeah. But it's like, is that our focus? Are we praying prayer and supplication with thanksgiving? Are we? It's hard. That one's hard to do because sometimes I'm not so thankful for the circumstance, something, whatever is happening in my life. But then you have to go back and you have to realize, okay, is this my doing, or, you know, is this God trying to show me something? You know, and but it could come down from a choice that I made over here, you know, that God's having to redirect. It's just, that's why you can't go too far ahead.
With the cancer.
Right.
Going through the different things. I can pray and be sad and miserable.
Right.
I can pray and be thankful that I woke up this morning. I'm still breathing today.
Exactly.
Because that leads me to the second part of this, which is my favorite part of it, because that's where I get the peace.
The peace of God.
That I can't do anything with yesterday.
Nope.
And I can't do nothing with tomorrow, and I have very little control over the day.
Exactly. Isn't that
so
the truth?
I just might as well go head on.
And just
and get on with it. It still goes back to getting
and go on to page 50.
With page
50. that's gonna be our new theme. And just get on with page 50. There we go. So too many of us, we fix our eyes on our problems or the hurdles that are in our life, and we start measuring the height of the next jump. In so doing, we glance occasionally at the Lord, only to make sure he's aware of all these hardships, these hurdles, are causing us. Okay, instead of saying, okay, I don't know how high the next jump is, but I don't care because God is right there. But I won't worry about that next jump until I get there. But instead of already calculating, already wondering, okay, what's going to happen next? It's like, stop it. Just stay right here in the moment with the Lord and be content, and your joy is there, your love for others is there, your peace is going to be there. All of that's going to be right there in the moment, and you know you can get through with it because he said, I'm never going to leave you or nor forsake you. I'm always going to be with you. He's not. You don't have to look around for where the Lord is, but you have to look around and say, where am I? The Lord's there, but where am I in my walk with the Lord? Am I right by his side? Am I like this close to him? Or is he over here and I'm over here and we're, you know, going down the pathway this way? Or am I staying very, very close to him, so that him and I, and over those hurdles, he can pick me up over them. He can be the one carrying me over this obstacle that I have in my life. But if I'm too far away and trying to get through it on my own, you know, it's like I'm just doing a disservice to myself. I'm not allowing God to work in my life and get me over the things that are coming up in my life. So, being thankful, we know to be thankful, we need to pray for ourselves, supplication, but supplication means praying for others. So, we also need to keep our focus and have our focus on, there's always somebody that's going through a difficulty that's worse than yours. So pray for each other. Pray for others. We, you know, some of the people that aren't in our class today, pray for them. Give them a call. Say, I missed you. I was thinking about you. Is there something I can do for you? It may not be much, but it could be just that encouragement of you calling them. Miss Leah?
The one that I'm feeling as right now that call someone.
Right.
Is to fill it out. One of our a member, that's what she felt.
Mm.
Because she said the reason why she's not here in the church anymore. But she wants to come here, but she said nobody acknowledge her, nobody count her as a family in church. And I encourage her. I said, no, Sita is doing your mind.
Mm-hmm.
This is not true. I said, I used to do that before. Because some of the church people, they don't say hi to me, or we just shake each other and they don't call me when I see. And I said, but who saved you? I said to her. I said,
why are we coming to church for other people to see us, or are we coming to church because
that's what I explained to her. I said, who saved you? I said, Jesus Christ. I said, then don't look up the people. Don't feel left out because people don't call you and ask you how you're doing.
Right.
And do not do that because God is in you. Look up on God.
Right.
Don't look up on the people because they're only people. I said, God is the one that reported to you. Go look up on him and come in the church.
Exactly.
Because they're not the one that you're not the one that come in the church because of them. No.
Right.
You come for God. I said to her, I said, you need to pray and your kids get saved from other church, and your mom and dad need to get saved too. And if you're going to go to other, because she's planning to go in the other church that she has church before, I said, where did you get saved? I said, how long have you been in the other church that you didn't know even that you get saved? I said to her, pray. And ask God that someday you will come back to the church because you need to pray for your mom and dad to get saved. You wanna see your mom and dad when God come back. I said when something happened to them, you cannot see them because you're not being faithful in the Lord's house. I said and all and every one of us, we had a kind of a thing that. Everyone that you don't care about. That's what she said to people in the church, you don't account me as a family church because they never say hi to me, they never call me, they never say nothing to me. And I go to the church and nobody even acknowledge me. I said, really? I said, I always visit you and I always encourage you. I said, do not look at that.
Well, if you're going to look at other people, you need to look at yourself.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're not speaking to other people or, you know.
I mean, a friend needs to show himself
ways.
Friendly.
I mean, I hate to hear that somebody felt like that.
Right.
But on the other hand, you know.
You have to put an effort out there.
Exactly.
Okay, let's go on to 17. First Thessalonians 5:18 is another one of these. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. See, there we got our 5 minutes. We got to get our chapter done here. Okay, so it says we can be joyful Christians or we can be joyless Christians. The choice is ours. Okay? So describe what you think the joy in the Lord looks like.
The joy in the Lord.
What's that look like to you?
It looks like some of the people I meet here in church. Joy in the Lord looks like you. Joy in the Lord looks like Sharon. Miss Ford. Miss Beth. These people are happy. You know, they're smiling. And when they're smiling, then I'm smiling.
There we go.
And I'm smiling, and I'm at peace.
Contentment.
Contentment.
Contentment. I wrote contentment. But I also wrote, am I content with what I have been given or not? It's a question I had to ask myself. Am I truly content with the circumstances and the way my life is?
But you also look at...
Oh, yes.
We cannot be content. We cannot be satisfied for everything that God gave us. We don't satisfy for everything that we have.
We're not. We're not. But that's a choice I make. Because I can be content in my circumstances.
When I was having this trip, I was out for 3 weeks.
Right.
My son stole my money. Had nothing. I lost everything. I was sleeping under bushes, places, charged my wheelchair. People said, why aren't you dealing? Why aren't you crying? Why are you always smiling? I said, don't cry for me. This is an adventure.
It's an adventure. Yeah, that's an adventure. Oh, boy.
It's a circumstance which doesn't bother me. I'm learning. And God's teaching me.
Right.
Wow. No. I didn't cry. I did cry a couple of times in the last time.
Right. Things are better now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Okay. Got a place, apartment, furniture, friends.
Good.
So I'm doing a lot better.
I was like, whoa, don't tell me that. God, I didn't know that. It's like, huh.
God gave me things to learn.
Good.
I learned them.
Now, someone's... Yeah. Okay, so then question 19 is that the joy is the smile of the soul and peace is the serenity of the soul. Do you know someone who has a smile of the soul in his or her life? Someone whose life is filled with the joy of the Lord? And then describe that person. When I put down... I look at Pastor, and because of all the things that he has to deal with, but there's always, you can see the joy of the Lord in this man. When, I mean, he can be getting on us in his preaching, but there's still, it's oozing out of him because he's doing what the Lord wants him to do. And there's a peace, there's a joy that comes through that. You can see it in everything about him. And I look at some of the other ladies, and it's like I see this contentment in their life. Their circumstances may not be what they want, but they're staying close with the Lord, and that brings that contentment and that peace. But then there's also
when Rodney went up there, there's a church at the door.
Right.
I missed it.
Exactly.
Because anytime you come in the church and he's standing there and he is singing and he is, by the time I get from in the door to where he is, that's what I said about just the people around me.
Exactly. And you forget about...
And you forget about everything.
You know, you may have been all down, all the way to church, but then, you know, you come in here and it's like there's...
Here's Mr. Rodney, and he's singing about...
I know, he's
rejoice,
like...
Rejoice, rejoice, and it's like, okay, let's get
here
on.
Here we go, let's get on.
Page 50.
Wait, let's move on to page 50. There we go. So, but there are also miserable, unhappy Christians that are in our church. And it's hard when you see them and you know that they're going through the motions, but nothing's reached their heart.
You think just coming to the building?
They're not allowing something in their life that the Lord can give them to change their circumstances. They're choosing to... And you can choose to be miserable. Yes. You know, you can, because where's the focus again?
Self.
You don't want any attention. You don't want anybody to, you know, I'm just going to be miserable all by myself. But where's your focus? It's all about me. It's still, you're still being selfish. You may not want to be around other people and you may not want to partake in things. But you're still thinking of yourself and yourself alone. You're not looking at what other people are having going on in their life. You're focused. You're pulled inward. And you're just, it's all about me and my problem. And it's the worst one ever. And I can't, you know. And it's like, and the more you stay in that.
The more depressed you get.
And the more depressed you get. And it's horrible.
I focused mainly on my friends when I was home.
Right.
I visited them and shared them with my
father. Right, so the next little thing just talks about the character traits of frowning, complaining, being withdrawn. Or you can count your blessings. You can be involved with others. You can look at their problems and yours don't seem so much. You can. It's all in your attitude. It's all in your focus. It's all in how you choose to react to a situation. But it still all comes down to a choice we make. I can be content in God's word. I can be content in my circumstances. I can be content. I can have joy and I can have love and I can have peace and gentleness and all the rest of these that we're going to learn. But it's a choice I have to make. I have to decide that this is how I'm going to live my life and I'm not going to be miserable. I'm just not going to do it. Exactly.
That's why I ask so many questions. You know how many questions I ask you.
I love it.
How many questions I'm going to start.